Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Leaves the ball. Oh, it's stolen by Thornton. Leaks it out. Here comes Isaiah, chased by Granger. He scores! And it's a one-point game at 87-86. Isaiah Thomas has been a catalyst tonight, has played 17 minutes. He now has 8 points, and the Kings are right back in the thick of it.
Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Kings. I'm Jason Ross. Thank you for joining us. It's been a fun week so far on the podcast. We continue with more today. And really today, we're going to try to tie this all in the big news of the NBA that happened on Tuesday, in which ex-King Isaiah Thomas was dealt from the Boston Celtics, along with Jay Crowder, along with Ante Zizic, and a first-round pick, which is courtesy of Brooklyn, to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Kyrie Irving. Wow, so many layers on this, and we're going to hear from Isaiah Thomas today. Well, like I said, I'm going to try to tie everything in back to the Sacramento Kings here on Locked On Kings, and when we get there, I have found an interview I had with Isaiah from his bridge between year one and year two, and I still think it relates to him today based on how he's perceived, how he's grown, but how he still has that healthy chip on his shoulder, and so we will hear that coming up later in our Locked On Kings podcast. We do encourage everyone, though, to check out the entirety of the Locked On Network, all of our things that we have, whether it's Locked On NFL, all the teams through the NFL. Check out the latest with Locked On Raiders, Locked On 49ers, certainly everything in the NBA. You want the latest from the Cavs perspective, from the Celtics perspective? Well, check out Locked On Celtics and Locked On Cavs. To find us, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher, and, of course, iTunes. Subscribe. It's there for you each and every day, free, just waiting for you. So check it out. All right, so I want to start with that trade, though, and I'm still marveling at this summer of the NBA. This has been a blockbuster summer, and I'm going to go back, and we've mentioned this before, to DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, the Kings made that trade at the All-Star break, which started the dominoes of All-Stars being moved. And if you think about that since then, and most of it's happened in the summer, we have seen Brook Lopez, who was once an All-Star, but he has moved from Brooklyn to the Lakers. Chris Paul officially moved from the Clippers to the Rockets. You've seen Paul George, Paul Millsap, All-Stars, I mean, that were traded. Now, Gordon Hayward changed teams, but guys that have moved and changed teams, it's just been crazy the amount of high-level players that are on other teams. And then in this case, you get Kyrie Irving from the multiple-time defending Eastern Conference champions going to the Boston Celtics in exchange for another All-Star in Isaiah Thomas. So my breakdown of the trade is this. It's a rare trade in my mind in which both teams did well, but I do think one did better than the other. I'm going to start with Boston's perspective. To me, Boston chose Kyrie Irving over Isaiah Thomas. They would likely going to have to pay Isaiah Thomas the max. He thinks he's a max player. Honestly, the way the NBA is, I think he's a max player now too. But he's 30. He has a final year left. And I think they like him. Danny Ainge expressed how difficult it was to move away from Isaiah Thomas, that it was a tough day for him. But they're banking on Kyrie being a little bit younger, signed for an additional year. And they really have 2 years to look at him to see what kind of player he will ultimately be and if they want to lock him up long term. Now, I'm going to stick with this from the Celtics perspective. I like the roster a lot, but I don't know immediately if they are the favorite in the East or the favorite in the NBA. They're not to me. Golden State Warriors remain that, and I still like the Cavs better than them, and I'll explain that coming up. But let's stick with Boston first. The makeup of their roster is really encouraging. There's a lot of good things to like of what they have. But I think where Boston is now, and they were in that spot anyway with Isaiah Thomas, is who is their best player? And I firmly believe right now it's Kyrie Irving, and that's okay. They've added Kyrie Irving. They've added Gordon Hayward. They like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Marcus Smart. There's a lot of interesting pieces that the Celtics currently have. And the way I would explain, I was talking with Doug Christie, the ex-King, the other day about one of the reasons why the Warriors are so good and maybe where the Kings can try to get to is they are in the top tier at so many positions amongst their roster. If you say Steph Curry is the best point guard, if you don't, he's second or third. I mean, he's top two or three. Klay Thompson, top two or three shooting guards. Kevin Durant is probably the number one small forward or wherever, one or two. Draymond's up there in power forward, center position. They drop a little bit, but you could afford that based on where the other guys are so far along. So then if you start to look at what Boston's starting lineup will likely be, yeah, I love Kyrie Irving as a point guard, but I put him probably outside the top five or right around five or six. I don't know. He's in that group of, I would put John Wall, Curry, Westbrook, Harden, Paul. I don't know, a few other guys ahead of him, but again, not a problem. Really good player, but he's probably Boston's best player. Shooting guard, I wouldn't be surprised if they start Jaylen Brown. I think that's what they would likely do. And then you look at Marcus Morris, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford. None of them, to me, are the best at their positions or clearly close to the top of the best at their positions. They're good. It's a roster filled with really, really good players. I like their depth. I think they're going to try to hit you with quantity and quality. But I get it. I get what Boston was doing. I'm not even ripping them for it. They were, what, 53-win team last year, number one seed in the East, and a good roster. Probably felt that they couldn't get further with Isaiah. I know he is injured at the end of the season. But I like the move for Boston, but I love it. Love it, love it, love it for Cleveland, and here's why. So let's take it from the Cleveland perspective. I personally, this is me, if I was Cleveland and I was approached for Ante Zizic, Jay Crowder, and the first pick in 2018, I might have done it. I might have done that. I would have thought about that. But Isaiah Thomas is also in it, oh, by the way, the best player in the trade for them. So you're exchanging all-star for all-star. You're getting a guy in a final year. I like that. That doesn't bother me. You may have to max him out after this year, and you may do a complete reboot. Why I like it for the Cavs is there are so many outlets that they can go. You want to go all in and re-sign LeBron and re-sign Isaiah and get that 2018 first-round pick from Brooklyn and build there? Go for it. You think LeBron's going to leave? You want to say goodbye to him? You want to say goodbye to Isaiah? Build off that 2018 first-round pick, your own pick, Kevin Love, and a few other pieces and have some money? You can do that. You can try half of one and half of the other. I just think it gives them about the best that Cleveland could have done in the situation. Kyrie had expressed his interest to leave. Usually, that decreases your market value. If you look at it, some of these other all-stars that have been traded, let's take Paul George, for example. Paul George was traded, also a guy in his final year, but he was traded, and they acquired no all-star in Oladipo or Sabonis and no picks. Cleveland got an all-star and a first-round pick. People ripped the Kings for getting only picks, really. They got a few other players, too, but mainly the picks was the part with Buddy Hield and a few other pieces. But people thought the Kings didn't get enough. You evaluate some of these other trades, and the one that was so adamant on leaving put so much pressure on Cleveland, I think they got the most back in return. I think Jay Crowder fits an excellent role for the Cavs. When they were playing the Warriors in the finals, I thought the Cavs competed really well. They were close, just not good enough. I think they needed another good two-way player. I had argued that Andre Iguodala was a great fit. If he could have been left the Warriors to the Cavs, I think we would have had a heck of a series. Jay Crowder may not be Andre Iguodala, but that's a good addition. Signed for an affordable value for the next couple of years. You could keep him, put him in the mix, maybe move some of your other pieces. I think Cleveland did about as well as they possibly could, and if they ultimately add Dwayne Wade, you know, he's near the end, but still another guy that can do it, can ramp it up a few times, and you throw out Wade and LeBron and Kevin Love and Jay Crowder and all the other pieces that they have with Isaiah, and see what you get. Even Ante Zizic is a guy that they think could be a rotational player. He's very inexpensive, a young project-type player. I just like it for Cleveland. I like what the Cavs were able to make out of this. They still have the best player. And again, it's the best part about this to me is the flexibility Cleveland has going forward. They could go all in. They've got a safeguard where if LeBron left, they could build around Isaiah. They could say goodbye to Isaiah. They have so many different avenues to go. And to me, that was truly very impressive on how they did that.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, Switching to GEICO could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay.
Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo!
GEICO. Because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
All right. With all of that said, now it's time to tie this back into the Kings a little bit and just hear more about Isaiah. I was thinking about an interview I had with Isaiah Thomas. This was years ago, and it's a long interview, but I cut it up to make it fit and make a little bit more sense for our podcast here. But it was after Isaiah's first season in Sacramento. Had a chance to catch up with him and talk about that rookie year, which was really a good season. But if you think about where his career is, it's the chip on the shoulder, but it's been a productive one. He became a really good King, had some decent run in Phoenix, blossomed in Boston, and I think will be good in Cleveland. I don't see why he wouldn't be. I know health is a little bit of a concern, but I think he didn't have offseason surgery. He should be able to come back and be fine. And I like a lot of what he brings. And I know Boston fans are going to be upset, I think, about losing him. Some will be excited about adding Kyrie, but we know from being in Sacramento that Isaiah Thomas was a fan favorite. Everything he had to go through last postseason was amazing, and how he handled it and thrived and played so well. So I think that's a tough one for fans to lose. Cleveland fans, I'm sure, liked Kyrie, but the second you say you don't want to be there, I don't think there's as much disdain about the trade and probably excitement about Isaiah coming in as LeBron's still around. So I think fans in Cleveland will be happier for the beginning part than Boston fans. I think over time, Boston fans, you'll love Kyrie Irving. He's a good player. I just think, again, if I'm weighing it, I like the trade best for Cleveland at this point. But with all that said, I did have a chance to catch up with Isaiah Thomas years ago. It's an interview that I thought would be worth listening to and kind of get it back to where, you know, it was a guy that's given to the community and he was going between year one and year two. So here's my conversation from a couple of years ago with now second-year player at the time and a member of the Sacramento Kings, Isaiah Thomas.
We're talking with Isaiah Thomas entering year two. It'll be here before you know it. I got to ask you about your rookie season. It was tremendous. Pick 60th coming in, making the team, then getting in the rotation, then becoming a starter, getting two rookies of the month honors. I want to ask you your reaction to the way the rookie of the year played out and then even getting mentioned as an all-rookie candidate on the second team, which I'm sure is an honor, but a lot of us, myself included, thought you should have been on the first team. What was your reaction to kind of the way the rookie of the year played out and then your selection on the second team all-rookie squad?
I mean, it's an honor to be even in consideration of rookie of the year and things like that. But, I mean, selfishly, I felt like I got snubbed. I felt like that I was overlooked once again. But, I mean, it comes with my background. I've been overlooked my whole life. I've been doubted. And it's something that I'm glad it happened this way because it'll make me work that much harder this summer and come back that much more ready to show people that I can compete at this level and I can do it at a high level. So, it is what it is. I mean, everything happens for a reason, I believe. And I just, guys are in for it next season. I'm going to go at every team, every point guard, every guy that was, like I said, picked ahead of me, every guy that was picked ahead of me for the first team all rookie, every guy that was picked ahead of me for rookie of the year. I mark things down like this, and as a competitor, that's what fuels me. And that's what fuels me to become work that much harder in the off season and by myself in gym. So, like I said, I feel like I got snubbed, but it is what it is, and I'm going to come back even stronger next season.
I just love that image. I mean, it's so great. Everybody that hears that has to appreciate that you've been overlooked once again, and it motivates you. I mean, kind of take us through that process. I mean, the visual I have is you in a gym by yourself and thinking, all right, I'm going against Brandon Knight. All right, I'm going against Kawhi Leonard. All right, I'm going against this guy that was picked ahead of me. I mean, Iman Shumpert, are those the kind of things that will enter your head as you train for year two?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those are the things that will be in my head since when the thing came out yesterday and then the rookie of the year came out the week before. Those are things that once I get back to training, I'm going to be thinking about nonstop. Because like I said, when I got drafted the 60th pick, that was my motivation. That was my thing going into every workout. And then once I was playing against these guys and playing against each team, I'm like, okay, that team passed on me, so I got to show them that I can compete. I got to show them that I am good enough, and then they lost a good one. So it all comes back to working hard and repetition and getting in the gym and using everything I can for motivation, because that's what fuels my fire.
Well, part of that, for getting better into year two, you really did have a great first season, but where do you see as areas that you have to jump up a level of play for next year?
Just a lot. I feel like coming into training camp, I got a little more security than I did last season because I didn't even know if I was going to make the team last year. So I want to be more of a leader, more of a guy like Chris Paul, Rajon Rondo, Steve Nash. Them guys really lead their team in each and every way, not just in points or assists, but they're the leader of their team, and guys really buy into what they want to do. And I want to be a guy like that that guys look to me when pressure situations come, okay, what play are we running? And even the coach looks to me. I want to be a guy that people trust and that I could take my game to the next level, because if I get the leadership that them guys get and watch film on how they control their teams throughout the game, I feel like I can have an impact on year two.
And then how about the team in general? I mean, we saw the team. I mean, looking at some of the teams left, you guys were able to beat Boston. You beat the Thunder once. You beat the Spurs. You were able to beat a lot of the good teams at some point in the year, but there were certainly plenty of losses that helped derail your chances of making the postseason. What do you guys have to do collectively as a team to get in that conversation as a playoff team next year?
We just got to grow. We got to mature more and understand and know how to win games. I mean, we were in a lot of games this year with the top teams in the NBA, and we also beat a lot of the top teams in the West in the NBA. So, therefore, that we know that we can compete with every team in this league. So we just got to buckle down and mature as a team and learn how to win. And, I mean, all the great teams went through it. All the great teams went through times where they didn't know how to win. They didn't know how to react in pressure situations. And we went through that this season. Hopefully, with this summer and a real training camp and a real season, we can really buckle down and win those close games. And that, I think that'll turn us around over the hump. And if we do that, we'll be a good team because we're talented. And like I said, we compete, and we can compete with every team in the league. We just got little things, little nicks and nags. We need to get out of our system, and hopefully we'll do that this season.
All right, we're visiting with Isaiah Thomas. And, Isaiah, I got to ask you about the matchup that's left in the West, Spurs and Thunder, but maybe specifically the position you play, point guard, Parker versus Westbrook. I think that's a great fan, opportunity to watch two great point guards. Who do you think wins that matchup? Maybe not the series, but at least that matchup of point guards, Parker and Westbrook.
It's hard because they're both great point guards, and I like Tony a lot, man. He just controls the whole game. And even if he's not scoring, he's controlling everything around the game, around his teammates and running the right plays, things like that. And when you play against these guys, you see more than what they're about, more than the scoring, more than the assists. You see that they're leaders on their team, and the team goes as much as they go. But, again, Russell Westbrook is a beast. That if he's scoring and he gets in that mode, it's hard to stop him. So, But team-wise, I think I'm going to go with the old guys in the Spurs. They're playing tremendous, and I don't think nobody can really stop them right now.
Yeah. Are they taking the whole thing? They're beating whoever comes out of the East, too?
I don't know. I feel like if Bosch is back, if he gets back, I got the Heat winning the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But the Spurs, you can't ever count the Spurs out, especially with them playing at the level they're playing at right now.
Well, I think everybody, you mentioned how you've been overlooked by a lot of people. I can tell you this, the people in Sacramento know what they've got in you. A lot of people have appreciated watching you, rooting for you, and I just can't wait to see what year two has involved for you and in store for you and the team. And doing more stuff like this for the community, you should be commended for that. Isaiah, thank you so much for everything you've done for the community, and best of luck this offseason. And I love that visual. It's like a Rocky movie. Keep working out and thinking of all those guys that were picked ahead of you. Best of luck this offseason, Isaiah, and thanks again for joining us today.
Man, thanks for having me.
All right.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. A little bit of a different makeshift version of the podcast today. I knew the biggest NBA stories, of course, were the trade with Isaiah and Kyrie Irving, but got me thinking, hey, I still have this interview. I wanted to play some of it, tied it in back a little bit to the Kings. And that game now, December 27th, was one of my must-see games when the Kings took on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Also, I put when Isaiah comes back. Well, now that's the same day, December 27th. But I think Boston will be a must-see team as well. And the fact that they open the season, those matchups, it's just made for a great offseason for the NBA. The sport is really peaking. I think fan interest, even though the Warriors are still the overwhelming favorite, I think there's so many great storylines coming up and the season is getting close. So it's super exciting for me and hopefully for you guys out there that are hoops junkies, NBA fans, and certainly fans of the Sacramento Kings. So hit me up. Tomorrow's the mailbag, so let's do it. Jason.Ross@CBSRadio.com. A lot of good entries again this week. You guys are coming up with some creative stuff. And at JasonRoss1140 on Twitter to send me your questions for the Friday mailbag. So thanks again for listening. We appreciate all of you out there. Leave us a rating if you could when you're on iTunes. Just hit the 5 stars and maybe leave a comment. Something you, any suggestions, too, you'd like for the show? Hey, I've said this before. I'm just trying to make it as enjoyable for all of you guys. We're kind of doing this together. I'm coming up with content every day. So if you've got ideas, throw them my way. I'd love to hear from you on that as well. So thank you so much for listening. Check us out each and every day. And we're back tomorrow again for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.